Plant and Health Cooperative organiserer små landbrugsproducenter i Uganda, herunder mange kvinder, omkring afgrøder som soja, majs og jordnødder. Den lokale befolkning omkring kooperativet hedder Lango, og de taler sproget Lyo. Christina Grossmann du introducerer.
I tre udsendelser skal vi møde andelsvirksomheder i Østafrika, mere præcist i Uganda, hvor de kaldes kooperativer eller kooperative virksomheder. Den anden radio har besøgt Plant and Health Kooperativet, der er partner med Dansk Ugandisk Venskabsforening, også kendt som DUFA.
Hallo, 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 hallo.
Plant og Health Kooperativet ligger i det nordlige Uganda og har landskabet relativt fladt og savannepræget. Medlemmerne er ca. 500 mindre farmere, der er organiseret i grupper. Jeg starter med at tage ud i felten for at besøge Alex, der er formand for en af medlemsgrupperne. Der er ikke ret meget trafik på det her tidspunkt. Der er mest et par motorcykler. Nogle enkelte cykler. Og det ser ud som om, der kommer en taxi nu, som skal køre i retning mod Adupu. Please, your name?
My name is Ojora Alex from Olanyatai, which is in Aboko, Paris, Adugu sub-county, Apache district. Yeah.
And you are chairman of a group?
Yes, I'm the chairperson of this of Shokshan group, women group.
What are your main crops here?
Well, we are doing production of soybean and marketing.
Ude i sojamarken fortæller Alex, at vi er i Adugu, som ligger i Apache-distriktet, og der er 28 kvinder i hans gruppe. De har været medlemmer af kooperativet i 9 år, fordi det er godt at løse problemer i fællesskab.
We are 28 in number.
And why did you become member of the cooperative?
The reason is that we think that when we come together, when we come together and we join and together, we can solve our problem. We can solve our problem.
Der er stort fokus på sojabønner i Plant and Health, hvor Edward Utimkine er ansat som projektleder og manager. Jeg spørger ham, om de dyrker forskellige sorter af sojabønner.
Oh yes, we have over 4 varieties. But what we have in this garden is called Nam Soy 4M. It has a better yield, and the advantage is it doesn't split when it is in the garden. It can dry, and then you can just pick the stem and then take home without getting scattered.
And the beans are inside, they are small and yellow.
They are small and yellow, but have a spot, yeah. A dark spot at the in the middle.
Ja, de dyrker 4 slags, forklarer Edward. I den mark, vi står i, hedder sorten Nam Soy 4M. Den er robust og giver små gule bønner med en sort prik. Udbyttet er godt, mellem 100-160 bønner per plante. Jo, det er en vældig god sort.
This is the difference. The other one is yellow with also a yellow spot. But this one produces more. It has more pods. Up to 100 to 150 or 200 on one stem. Sometimes 160. It's a very good variety.
Jeg spørger Alex, hvad de dyrker ud over soja.
We grow also maize for sale and even for food stuff. Mm-hmm.
And what is the price for soya this year?
The price for soya this year, it is 1,200 kilo per kilo.
Is that good? Is it better than last year?
Yes, this year at least is better than last year. There's little soya this time.
So therefore the price is higher. Mm.
So if it is little, the price goes higher. But if it is in a good, in a large quantity, the price reduces.
Vi dyrker også majs, både til salg og eget forbrug. Og hvad så prisen på soja i år? Jo, den er et par kroner kiloet, og det er en ret høj pris, for baggrunden er, at høsten har været lille i denne årets første sæson. Men hvis kvaliteten ikke er god, så falder prisen.
So how many kilos can you make in the group together?
Oh, a kilo last year we make 3,000 kilogram, which is equivalent to 3 tons.
And this year, how much do you think you can make?
This year, all this season, we have been disturbed by weather. So our expectation, I think we shall just get 1 ton only, which is 1,000 kilogram.
So you hope for more rain for that next season?
Yes.
Yes.
I den gruppe, Alex er formand for, høstede de 3 ton soja i forrige sæson, men denne gang forventer de kun cirka 1 tons, fordi der ikke kommer regn i foråret 2017. Der er store håb om mere regn til årets anden høst. Hvordan klarer kooperativet afregning med deres medlemmer, spørger jeg Edward.
We pay them straight away.
Vi betaler medlemmerne lige så snart de afleverer til kooperativet, forklarer Edward. Det er nødvendigt, for ellers kommer opkøberne og drager af med varen til en meget dårligere pris.
Once we pick from here, we leave them with the money, yeah, and take the soya. We don't tell them to wait. No.
Because that would be difficult to wait.
When we leave them with the soya without money, the middleman can just come behind us,
yeah,
and take something else from us. So we worry about that, and we always pay them right away. Yeah.
It is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeg spørger Alex, om soja også spises på linje med andre bønner.
We just fry.
That's a snack.
Yeah, a snack. Yeah. We do that, but cooking, we find it is difficult.
You don't put it into a sauce or?
No.
No?
No.
Why?
It takes a lot of firewood to become like a beans. Mm. Eh?
Okay.
Cooking it is difficult.
Mm. Mm. What other beans do you have for cooking?
Two varieties here. Mm-hmm. The small one and the bigger ones. We have 2 or 3 like that.
Nej, sojabønner rister vi kun som en snack. Det koster alt for meget at brænde, hvis man skal købe dem. Men der er mange andre bønner, som bruges til mad.
What they have here depends, but they are smaller size and bigger size. Somebody would want to eat the small ones, somebody may want to eat the big ones. But in our area, mostly they like the small ones. It's more tasty. The small black ones is tasty compared to the bigger ones.
I think you have small red ones.
Small red ones also there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those ones are not tasty. The small black one is very tasty here, and it's very popular.
Hvor meget jord har du, Alex?
I have 2 only, but I hire.
Jeg har 2 acres. Det svarer til cirka 1 hektar. Men så lejer jeg 2-3 acres mere og dyrker dem, siger Alex.
So when I hired, I can cultivate about 4 or 5.
So it's acres, 4 or 5 acres?
Yes.
Vi lejer dem af de store jordejere. Nogle har 100, andre 60, 20 eller 10 acres. Dem lejer vi jord af.
They have a landlord because other people they have a large acres of land.
Mm. Like 100.
Yes.
60 or 100.
Yes. Even others can reach 60, others 20, 10 like that. So we do hire from them.
Og hvor mange bor det her omkring den samme gårdsplads?
We are 4 in number.
4 brothers.
4 brothers.
And all of you are living around here.
Yes, we are living around here.
And these are the houses. Yeah, this is yours, that one to your brother, and the other one like that.
Mm.
And you have also wife and kids, all of you?
Yes, we have.
So you are many people.
You can see these are offspring from the family here.
I have 4 children.
Yes.
Our poor children.
So you are like 20 or 25 people.
How many in total you think you are here? The population? Okay.
The population here?
25.
Yeah. Okay. Can reach 20.
Yeah, can reach 20.
Yeah. Vi er fire brødre. Og ja, alle er gift, har børn, og hver har sit hus her omkring gårdspladsen. Og så er der også vores gamle far. Alt i alt omkring 20 personer.
Klokken 9 om morgenen, og jeg står uden for bomuldsforarbejdningsfabrikken, eller hvad det nu er, anlæg. Og på vej ned ad hovedgaden til Plant and Health Kooperativet, som ligger et stykke, cirka en halv kilometer nede af hovedgaden. Plant and Health Kooperativet har deres administration i den lille by Equira.
This land here, where the office is built, is owned by the members, and nobody can interfere and all that. We have already done much and got even some papers for it from the Ministry of Land. Now it's the land for Plants and Health Cooperative Society. We made two registrations. The first one was in 2013, and then that was provisional. They wanted to confirm if we are able to really run a cooperative. So after 2 years, we had to take in our audited books to the registrar of cooperatives. When he went through, he found that we qualified to become a permanent registered cooperative now. So that's when they issued that with that new certificate. Now we are no more going for any more registration. That is now final for the rest for the lifetime of this cooperative.
I dag er regeringen velvilligt indstillet over for etablering af kooperative virksomheder, og registrering er organiseret både centralt og lokalt, fortæller Edward Utimkine. Men det er relativt nyt i Uganda, for der er nemlig en forhistorie af kooperativer.
But before the war, there was a very good cooperative movement in the country there, with a lot of unions. But after the war, we thought we should try to start something in that line. And then that's how we began.
When was that, the first period with cooperatives?
With the cooperatives in Uganda was the early 60s. Was from 63 up to 79, when there was a very big war here. There was a lot of war in the 79s, 80s, 81, 82, 83, 84, 5 up to about 90s, when the country became rather peaceful. But unfortunately, this government, which is currently in power, did not like cooperatives. You know, behind is like disintegrating people. Those who are in a group can be strong, but then he thought if he has another movement like a cooperative, it could be against this government. So when formerly the former government supported very much the cooperatives, but this government doesn't support cooperatives. So he decided to disintegrate. And he did not have it in policy, not until recently now, when he saw that people were doing on their own to start cooperatives. Or most of the people knew cooperatives was the only way out. And now, then we came down into 2013. When we say now we formalize this system, we decided to register with the government.
Det er ikke dyrt at foretage officiel registrering som kooperativ virksomhed, men der er en lang række formelle krav til organisation og til regnskab, som skal opfyldes. Først får man en midlertidig godkendelse, og efter 2 år den endelige. Derudover så betaler medlemmerne selvfølgelig deres medlemskab, og det svarer til et par kroner på årsbasis, men 3-4 gange så meget koster det at købe en andel. Det at have andel udløser en del af den fortjeneste, som kan opnås ved godt kollektivt salg.
But if you want to become a member in a society like this one, when we are forming this society, we have to pay a registration of 5,000 per member, and then you have to pay your shares. That is what confirms that you are really a true member of the group. You have to pay a share capital of 25,000 shillings. I know our money is rather difficult, but 25,000 is about 8 Danish kroner or 10, something like that. About 8.
Can a member pay more than one share or only one share?
It depends on the viability. If a member is attracted to the organization's business, he can be able to pay more than one share. A member is entitled to more than one. It depends on how he can always get the dividends from that. Yeah, because in principle, it's conditioned that you should pay one share. But if one is able to pay more than one, it's no problem. He can do that. You can pay up to 10 shares if you want. Even some people buy up to 15 for other organizations. But we here, we have only had about 3 to 5 people. We had 17 groups at the beginning, and then now we came to 25. This time we are up to 28. So it seems we are just trying to develop and grow.
I øjeblikket er det afgrøderne soja, majs og jordnødder, der er fokus på i Plant & Health kooperativet. Det handler om, at de afgrøder udmærket kan dyrkes uden brug af kemiske stoffer, og samtidig giver de også god ernæring.
We have put in maize, as one of the second crop, because we can see that maize also doesn't need a lot of spraying and all that. And also we have put the third one to be groundnuts, which is also one of our crops here, which is used for food.
Men hvordan går det med salget, spørger Edward. Er der efterspørgsel på soja?
Yes, there is market for soybeans. We have markets in 3 areas. We have one for seeds. We have some companies who come and buy from us for seeds. They go and prepare and then pack for seeds. We have another company that buy for food for persons when you want to feed the children in the hospital, they have to buy what is good from us. And then there's another company buying for animal feeds and chicken, something like that. For those farmers, especially there in Kampala, they always order from us in tons, and then we supply them.
Jo, der er firmaer, som laver soja og majsolie, og de køber op. Og derudover er der enkelte frøvirksomheder. Nogle af virksomhederne er indisk oprindelse, men de er alle sammen hjemmehørende i Uganda.
So what price can you get when you sell it?
It depends on the period, because now we are selling. We are buying at a fairly low price and selling at also a slightly low price compared to when it's not there. This is peak season. When it is harvest time, most prices are not very good. But because we are thinking that we have the business in circulation and maintain our customers, we have to supply them at that low price.
So what is the price actually?
At the moment, the price for buying from farmers is 1,250. And then we are selling out at 1,350, just a difference of about 100, like that.
That is per kilo?
Per kilo of soya. And then when it is a good time, we are selling at 1,650, like that. Or selling at 1,550, something like that. But at the moment, it's not very good, but it will come with time. When the soya is now, the harvest is over, and most stores are empty now. When they come to us with what we are bulk there, we sell to them at a better price.
Do you have a storeroom so you can keep the harvest?
Yes, yes. We have the storerooms in two categories. One, we have smaller stores at the group level where our members come from. At their own groups, they have a small store, like just a simple one like this room, where we can have up to 50 bags or 60, then we take it to this big store. And then at the second level, we have our own store here. We will get the small storage from the groups and then bring to our big store here. And then finally, we look for a market. Or we get a customer and then we load off what we have in our stores here. But it is our plan to have a better store at all level. At the group level, we should have also a fairly big store. And then at our own level here, we should all have another store, which is bigger than what we have here.
And the buyers, are they in Lira or are they in Aduku, or where do they come from?
Our buyers for all this, some are in Lira. In Lira, we have a number of companies who are dealing in soya. We have about three big companies there. The Mokwanu, which is a renowned company in the country here for processing oil. They are buying a lot of soya and they are buying a lot of maize. And we also have Mount Meru. It's also a renowned company for all those crops. And they are buying a lot of soya, and they are buying a lot of maize. They're also buying sunflower from other farmers. Because we don't deal in sunflower, but they buy that one from farmers for processing oil. And then we have these other seed companies. We have three of them who are buying. This is, we have the Equator Seed Company, we have Victoria Seed Company, and we have Otis Seed Company. All these people are based in Lira, and they are always buying from us. So when there's the seed time like now, they come to select which are the good seeds from us, and then they buy to process for farmers. Yeah, all the buyers are in Lira. And a few anyway outside, like what we have for poultry feeds, they come from Kampala, mostly, where there's a lot of that business of poultry keeping. Yeah, they come from Kampala, most of them.
Are they all Ugandan companies, or are some of them foreign?
Foreign, like the Indian company. Mokwanu is already a Ugandan. He's a citizen. He's not a foreigner. Although he's an Indian businessman, but already they were the former citizens in the country here, who went out during the Amin regime, that war of Amin. And now they are back and they have got their big business, good business. And Mount Meru are these Indians in Kenya. Those who are already citizens in Kenya. So they are also buying from us. They are all Indians, but the company is in Uganda, in East Africa. Yeah, and then these other ones are the Ugandans, are these poultry feeds and seed companies. See, all the seed companies are by Ugandans. Yeah, yes. But the oil companies like Mokwanu and Mount Meru, those are Indians who are now citizens in the East Africa here.
Hvad er så de største udfordringer for Plant and Health Kooperativet?
Well, our challenge here is, as you know, cannot be only one. We have in the systems, like in the agriculture, we have the challenge of certain inputs, some inputs which we lack to improve our agriculture. And that one we don't have the capacity to buy for members. Like our members would think we can have a better means of preparing land, like with a tractor or oxen and plows, but we do not have the capacity. What we only advise are the members who try to cultivate bigger land that can produce them something bigger and to sell and get something to buy. And then two, we have the challenge of post-harvest handling equipment. We do not have the tarpaulins.
Have you ever taken a loan in a bank?
We have recently applied for a loan from a Ugandan bank. It's called Microfinance Support Center. So it gave us a loan up to 30 million shillings. And this money we are giving at store level, at the group level. We give according to the production which is done there. And then they have to buy from the members, so that we can go and pick and then sell to our customers. It is because of that we worried about our middlemen. They are interfering with our business. We thought we could bulk at the group level and then look for a good market and then sell proper. But now they are interfering with that. They go to the groups and attract them to small monies, you know. And when you don't take the money there, they can easily take your produce. So we worried we don't need to lose our seeds, because we have a seed loan to members. And then when we leave them with the seeds completely, they can sell out, and then we lose our seeds, which is it is also affecting our business. So we have some loan from the bank up to that tune, and the repayment schedule is up to 2 years. This year up to 2018, about that is when we shall complete it. Yeah.
What is the interest you can do?
This one is fairly okay, because most banks now in the country have an interest rate of 24%. But this one has an interest rate of 13%. 13%.
Is that per month?
And yeah, per year.
Per year,
not per month. It's per year. It's 13% per year. So for the 2 years, we are likely to pay 34 million altogether.
Hvad er de største fordele ved at være en andelsvirksomhed? Jo, siger Edvard. Det at kunne optræde som en større gruppe og få anerkendelse for sin virksomhed, og også blive inviteret til at deltage i forskellige landbrugsmæssige aktiviteter.
When we were not in the cooperative, we were not able even to get any good market or a definite market. But now in the cooperative, we can build a capacity, like the quantity of what we need to sell. It is bigger size. Like when it's an individual has, and we are known, people now know us by our business. As we are in that cooperative, I say, I will go to these people, they can have something at least. So I can tell that it is more advantageous to be in a group of a cooperative. You can benefit. You can also have opportunity to look for support, to solicit support. When you are in a group, some people doing the same thing can join you. Like when these days, when there are other programs in Kampala, they call us for meetings with under the cooperatives. They say, we have a cooperative in Aduku, let them come for this meeting and all that. So that means we are known. People come to know us by our business and our performances on the ground. Yeah. That's what I should say, it's really been of a benefit to be in a cooperative. And we are seeing that people now are wishing to join, because formerly we started very few people had interest, but now people are coming to head onto us, say, no, let me work with these people, because they are able to buy from us, from you, all you have produced. And they are able to also sell to other people like that. And we always even include trainings, that these people can train you and let you know and have more knowledge about something you are doing. But land is a crisis here now, because although the families give, but then most families are running out of land. It's completely. That's why you see the influx in Kampala is now very high, the population. Somebody is lacking land in the village, thinks he should go to Kampala to look for a sort of, to get a living. just like that. Because you cannot survive without the land, no.
Du har lyttet til den første af tre udsendelser om andelsvirksomheder i Uganda. Medvirkende var projektleder og manager Edward Timkene og Alex Audio, formand i medlemsgruppen fra Plant & Health Cooperative. Det var en udsendelse, som var produceret af Christina Grossmann Due for Den Anden Radio.